Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of this Thursday edition of Cook and Pony. Every Thursday at 11, we're pleased to be joined in studio by former Steelers nose tackle Chris Hoke. You see him now doing great work for KDK TV2. Chris is brought to you by the Solomon Auto Group. Chris, welcome back. We always enjoy it.
Appreciate it, Cookie. Good to be with you guys, you and Pony.
Little different week this week than last week, coming off of a three-touchdown loss to Jacksonville last week, going to Kansas City and beating an undefeated team. Before we get to this week's controversy, what was your big takeaway from that game as you watched it?
Well, what a difference a week makes. I mean, last week we were sitting right here, Thursday at 11 o'clock. We were talking about the Steelers defense that couldn't stop a running game. They had two of the last three games. They gave over 200 yards rushing, an offense that gave up. They had five interceptions and just was really struggling offensively and defensively. And now we're talking about a team that has the second-best record in the NFL, right? We're talking about a defense who's number one against the pass, who played lights out on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs, the only unbeaten team in the NFL, and an offense who did enough to win the game, had a great rushing attack on Sunday.
Chris, you played for a long time. Explain it to our listeners, and to me too, that sometimes it's hard to understand how you can look so good one week and so bad the next. Do you take smart pills? Do you take strength pills? I mean, how does it happen?
It's the NFL, and you understand that these other teams that you play are NFL teams as well. They get paid a lot of money as well, and like we talked about last week, the Jacksonville Jaguars, this was a barometer game for them. They wanted to see how good they were, how physical they were, what direction they were heading in as a team. Also, the Steelers coming off a very emotional Ravens game. I think that all led up to the loss against Jacksonville Jaguars. They went out this week and played against Kansas City Chiefs. There was a lot of motivation to get back on the winning side of things and win this game. They knew if they flipped it and they won, that the tone and the emotion, attitude of everything would change.
I think it's matchups. I think that's why we see, I hate to bring it up, but that's why we see New England beat Pittsburgh so often, and I think that's why we see Pittsburgh beat Kansas City as much
as it
does.
Yeah, but you look at talking about matchup, you're talking about two running teams. We're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, who were the number one rushing team in the NFL. You saw two of the last 3 weeks previous, you saw the Bears and the Jaguars run all over the Steelers' defense. Then you come in this next week against the number one rusher in the NFL, right? Not even close. You're averaging 6.3 yards a carry. And he had, nine carries for 21 yards, 2.3 yards a carry. I mean, he couldn't even get started in this game. And so you talk about matchups, yeah, but also you look at a team where they shut down the run game where they were inept the week before.
It's not just me. I've heard a lot of people say that the defense, for some reason, looked incredibly fast in that game. Getting to the ball, they were flying.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I do agree. And let me tell you quickly, I went back and watched the film, and I really tried to figure out what was the difference between the week before against the Jaguars and now against the Kansas City Chiefs, because it was a night and day difference. You talked about a team against the Jaguars that couldn't make a tackle, that couldn't stay on their feet, that weren't in their gaps, that couldn't set an edge in the run game. Then you watch against the Kansas City Chiefs, and you watch a team who were flying to the ball. You didn't see one guy on the ground. You didn't see a defensive lineman on their stomach. You didn't see a linebacker not getting over the top of a blocker and getting to the ball. You saw safeties and corners coming up and making tackles that you didn't see the week before. And to me, it's an emphasis, it's attention to detail, and it's something the Steelers defense has to do every single week. You can't just do it after a loss. To be a good football team, you have to do it consistently on a week-in, week-out basis. And right now, it's a 1 week they're good, 1 week they're not. They've got to decide that they got to do it every week, and if they will, they'll be a very good defense.
Did they blitz a lot?
You know what? They blitzed a little bit. I thought they played straight up. Okay. I thought they played straight up for the most part. They had to bring some blitzes. Steelers are always going to do that. But what I liked about it was you saw the defensive front. And you saw guys flying on the line. They were taking the grass of the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they were knocking their line in the backfield. And that's where this game was won. It was at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, guys. And you saw from outside linebacker to outside linebacker, from left to right, knocking these linemen back from tight end to the offensive tackle. And that's how you win in the run game.
Do you think it's a matchup thing for James Harrison that he just has Eric Fisher's number, or did you see things for him that warrant more playing time?
I think it warrants more playing time, but then again, you got to be careful. And I've talked about this before because you have young players who need snaps to develop. You got a young T.J. Watt who's slowed down, who's cooled off a little bit.
I don't think he's been the same player since
his injury. Have you noticed him? I haven't noticed him nearly as much.
No, I mean, listen, he hasn't done anything horrible. He hasn't been a liability, but he hasn't made the big play like he did the first week, and he had a sack a couple weeks ago, but he's not bringing that pressure. He's still bringing the same intensity, but you got a guy like James Harrison, and I tell you, he warrants being on the field, but you've got to be careful as a coach because you want to be able to balance it with letting these young guys play, letting them develop, but also putting James in there so he can produce like he produces. James can't go 50, 60 snaps anymore, but if he can come in and give you 15, 20 snaps and give you a big sack, there was nobody yelling louder than me in the KDK studio when he made that sack on 3rd and 10, right when he grabbed that left arm. A Fisher,
Bobby,
I knew that drag
said
was coming.
You predicted that, but I don't believe Bob.
Oh, listen.
He said you called it.
I did call it.
No,
Listen, I knew it was coming, and right when he grabbed that outside arm, I said, he got him! And I just screamed, and it was fantastic.
Is there something about being in somebody's head like that? Fisher has struggled against him. Have you seen that before? Now, Harrison says, hey, I've been tough on a lot of offensive tackles, but maybe it's just because, you know, the holding penalty last year and – he's made a lot of big plays against this guy.
He has.
Fisher goes, oh, my God, I got to face James Harrison.
And to his – I think everybody says that. And to his point, you know, he's done that to a lot of offensive tackles in the NFL. He is the all-time sack leader for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what James does so well is the way he sets up a tackle. And I try to tell all football players, young football players, youth players, it's not about how great you are and how dominant you are. You have to be smart, too, and be able to set blockers up, be able to set defenders up. And what James does, you've watched before, he bull rushed. Eric Fisher's sitting there looking for the bull rush. There goes James. He comes at him, slips to the outside, grabs that arm drag, slides around the outside, and gets a sack on Alex
I think
Smith.
He should play a lot on Sunday. And I feel that way because Cincinnati, one of the things they didn't do this offseason was make the offensive line better, especially that left side. Whitworth was good for a lot of years.
Yep.
Gone. You know, they've been really vulnerable at left tackle, and now James Harrison – I think it's a matchup there where I would look to exploit that. So you've got that. Also, since they've been on a little bit of a winning streak, Cincinnati, a lot of big plays downfield to A.J. Green. I don't want to give Andy Dalton time to make those plays.
Yeah, and there's been some – I mean, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, later down in the hour. It's talking about the Bengals and how the offense has changed from Zampezi now to Lazor. I mean, it's totally changed in terms of the offense and what they're trying to do and where they're putting the ball in the running game and passing game. But you're right. You look at that offensive tackle position for the Cincinnati Bengals, it's been a revolving door.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't figure out what they want. They're in and out. You got three guys that are rotating like crazy. They can't figure out what they want. The offensive line has been a liability. That's part of the reason why Andy Dalton has struggled early in the season. I think with getting the ball out quick and quick rhythm plays, you're seeing him now get and trying to get the ball out to A.J. Green, which is last game came back to haunt him a little bit. I mean, A.J. Green was part of three turnovers last week. And so when you force the ball, that's what happens.
What did you think of Mike Mitchell's hit on Alex Smith?
Listen,
man, it was late.
When you start with listen,
it was
Chris.
Late and it was low.
It was low and it was late.
And you hated the Beckham play. Let me just point that out.
Yes, talked about this. Absolutely. But let me tell you something about this, though. And I watched that over and over again on film after the game. And what I'm seeing is I've been a defender like Anthony Ciccolo. Like when Chick came around, he's turning, and you see Mitchell. He stops and plants and goes to take off. Ciccolo comes flying around. He's moving faster than Mitchell at the time. I've been there before when you're moving fast and you're coming up on a guy's heels and you put your hand out in front of him just so you don't run up on top of him. And that I've done that before. And so I know exactly what happened. Chick came up on him, and Mitchell wasn't moving at the same speed as him. He kind of put his hand on him. Just that little nudge in itself makes you go flying. That was not an intentional go low on Alex Smith, in my opinion.
You still have to be penalized, though, Tom.
You have to be penalized.
You have to be responsible for it one way or the other, right?
And when you see it happening, when you see it in real time and the referees, you can't always see it. You talk about all these judgment calls that are going on with touchdowns and receptions and turnovers and all these things. There are some judgment calls you have to make, and a referee might not have seen that little nudge in the back from Ciccolo when you see it real time. And so you have to throw the flag on that because he did go to the back of his leg.
Yeah, guys still get flagged for accidents.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're right, whether it's bad circumstance, you know, guys meet up at the same time, whatever. You know, they have to be – look at Aaron Rodgers now. I mean, the NFL is without one of its best players, and it wasn't even a dirty hit. Here's my thing on Mitchell, and I heard Matt Hasselbeck make this point, and I happen to agree with him on it. If that is a practice in training camp and Ciccolo pushes Mitchell the same exact way and it's Roethlisberger, I think Mitchell makes more of an effort to get out of the way.
I think he's trying to finish the play there. The speed of the game is much, much greater in a game than in training camp.
I will concede. Yes, I will concede that Ciccolo shoved him or touched him, but I think Mike still wanted to finish the play.
I don't. I just.
You don't see it that way?
No, I don't. I don't. I think that it happens.
Did you see him try to move out of the way on that tackle?
Well, he's moving at 100 miles an hour. He's got a guy pushing him in the back. I said, I've been there. I've had Larry Foote up on my back. You know, he pats me on the back. I go flying. It happens all the time in football.
Do you think if we saw the same play happen this Sunday where Carl Lawson shoved Vontaze Burfict into Ben like that, there'd be the same reaction?
We would all be up in arms, but, right. but I think it's the same thing.
It's still not necessarily a bad play.
I do not believe that Mike Mitchell did this on purpose.
You know, we all look at things through our own glasses. You know, when it happens to your player doing it, it's a good football play. But when it happens to one of your players, it's a dirty
play. Well, think about this. In Cincinnati right now, if that was Vontaze Burfict, right, we would have been up in arms, and it would have been crazy throughout the NFL. And what happens is that everybody, it's kind of who it is and when it happens. And Mike Mitchell, if it wasn't Mike Mitchell, if it was somebody else, it wouldn't have been a big issue. But Mike Mitchell is kind of known throughout the NFL of doing some dirty things over the years. I don't believe this is one.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're just getting started with Chris Hoke in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge. Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. We got a lot of Steeler talk coming your way with Chris next, right here on Sports Radio, 93.7TheFan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.